Take your Bible, if you will, and go over to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Started to say, I thought I heard some music coming from heaven. Okay, I thought he was getting up a load today. I was fixing to be in this bunch. You know, there's some indicators that the day that you may be entering into is shaping up to be a rotten one. I mean, like if you wake up face down out on the pavement, this may not be shaping up to be a good day. You get to work and you see the 60 Minutes crew setting up in your office. Your twin sister forgets your birthday. May not be shaping up good. The bird that's outside your window turns out to be a buzzard. Your boss tells you when you walk in to don't bother taking your coat off. Might be shaping up to be a rotten day. What if your income tax check bounces? Or if your wife says, good morning, John, your name's Dustin. Not going to get your day started right, is it? Life can be a little bit tough. And things sometimes seem to get worse instead of better, don't they? Sometimes that happens. No devil wants us to think that we're powerless to do anything about that, and that we ought to just stop trying to swim against the current and just kind of go along with whatever the flow wants to, wherever the flow wants to take us. You know what? If all we have is the power of positive thinking, then the old devil's right. That's all we've got. If that's all we've got to look at, then the devil would be right in his ways. But that's why I thank God that we have so much more than that. We got things we can count on. Remember when you were a kid and you fell down and you got all scraped up? And you'd go running up into the house, and Mom would take a look at your wounds, and she'd pat you up, and then she'd pat you on the behind, send you right back out, and tell you it's going to be okay. Remember that? And it was. She dutifully looked it over, poured some stinging stuff in it, sent you back out to play, told you it's going to be all right. This is my first Mother's Day without my mom. And it's been a little different this morning. Just kind of feels different. Many of you didn't know my mom, but she knew you. I've been here 14 years. She knew you. You see, I shared a lot with my mom about church. And every once in a while, when the bicycle of my life would tip over, I'd run home. And that meant running home from here meant 2.5 hours. Driving. Sometimes I'd drive those 2.5 hours just to get in the same room with Mom, spend 30 minutes talking, a lot of it about you, and then drive 2.5 hours and come on back here. I told her things about having trouble and what I was concerned about and all kinds of things about y'all. Now, I'd already talked to the Lord about it, and he and I had already come to grips with it, but you know what? Sometimes you just need Mom to say it's going to be okay. I knew it was going to be okay. I just wanted to hear her say it. Anybody identify with that? Yeah, I knew it was going to be all right. I just wanted to hear her say it. She had a way of listening that just let me kind of throw up an alligator. And then she'd just let me talk through my own problems and come to the answers that I knew that I was going to come to so that she could say, see, it's going to be okay. Kind of an important process there in some ways. But it's not going to be okay just because we wish it to be okay. Just because we want it to be or say that it's going to be. You see, wishes are empty words. There was a young boy driving a hay wagon one day down old country road. Got that old hay wagon to rocking, and over on its side it went out in front of another fella's house. Fella in the house heard the commotion, come out there and saw the hay wagon pulled, laid over on its side, and the young boy that had been driving it sitting on the ground out there crying. Man, run up there and said, man, don't cry, don't cry. It's going to be all right. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. He said, yeah, my daddy's going to be angry. He's going to be angry with me. Old boy at the house said, no, it's going to be all right. He said, in fact, we're fixing to eat. He said, come on in with me. Get you something to eat. You'll feel better after you've eaten. We'll come back out here and we'll pick this up. Put it right back on that wagon. He said, no, my daddy's going to be mad. Old boy talked him into coming in. He sat there and fidgeted through the meal and ate the meal with the man and his wife there. And as soon as it was over, he said, well, we're going to go out there and we're going to get this right. He said, yeah, but my daddy's going to be awful mad. He said, we're going to pick it up. We're going to put the hay on there. We're going to send you back. It's going to be okay. I'm telling you, it's going to be all right. He said, yeah, but my daddy's going to be mad. He said, where is your daddy anyway? He said, right under that wagon right there. Wishes can be empty words. Oh, it's going to be all right. You don't know the story. You don't know that it's going to be all right sometimes when you throw it out there, do you? Huh? When a believer gets a bad report, listen to me. When a believer gets him a bad report in this life on something, and a brother and sister comes to him and tells him it's all going to work out. It's all going to be okay. When a church family is mourning the loss of one of its own, and the preacher tells them it's going to be okay, it's all going to be all right, is it going to be okay? Is it really going to be all right? Why is it going to be all right? Because we want it to be all right? Because we want it to be so? Are those empty words that we throw out there? Are the empty words when we say, you know, it's going to be fine, it's going to work out, it's going to be okay for you? How can we be sure that everything is going to work out? How can we be sure that everything's going to be okay? Well, for a believer, it's because God says so. That's why. For the believer, God says, it's going to be okay. No matter what's happening right now, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life right now, it's going to be okay for the believer. And I just want to remind you of that today. How many believers do we have in the house today? I'm not talking about you got a head full of Jesus. I'm talking about you got a life full of Jesus. I'm talking about you got a head and a heart full of Him. Not just an understanding of who He is. I'm talking about you're surrendered. You've give up. You've submitted. You've handed over the reins of your life to Him. That's the one I'm calling the believer this morning. Now, there might not be near as many hands go up this time if I ask you to put them back up there under those conditions, right? You still the boss of your life? You still in charge of your life? Then you ain't a believer. Huh? You're doing it on your terms, how you want to. You got your own faith, you see. This is not the faith, this is your faith. This is your own little old faith sect out there when you're in charge of it all. But for the believer in the faith, it's going to be okay. It's all going to work out. Why? Because God said so. That's why. I'm not giving you a bunch of new ground that we're going to plow this morning. I'm just reminding you what you got. I'm reminding you who you serve. Whatever it is that you got going on in your life, up, down, sideways, backwards, whatever else, that don't define you. That's something to bring you to the place of understanding who you serve. Listen to this as I read through here. Listen to what God says about it all. I'm not going to spend a lot of time breaking things down. I want you to hear from the Lord this morning. I want you to listen to what He says to you. Believer. Believer. This is for you. Starting in verse 18. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, pride, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See what He's saying right there with all that groaning and moaning and everything else? You don't know what to do. You don't know which way to turn. All you know is it's bad and things are hurting, and you don't know which way to look. You don't know where you help. You don't know how help's going to come to you. You don't know any of that. And you just moan and you groan a little bit about it. And what he's saying is that that's what the Holy Spirit does with you too. He groans for you. And he moans for you. But it isn't just moaning and groaning in a vacuum. It's moaning and a groaning in a language that the Lord, that God our Father understands. That intercession of the Spirit of God on our behalf, interceding for us when we don't even know what to ask for, when we don't even know what to pray for. And he prays for us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reminder that it's going to be okay. It's all going to be all right. It's all going to work out in the end. For who? For the believer. How many believers we have here today? Oh, maybe about the same number. I tell you this morning, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to work out. A fellow by the name of Bill Tucker wrote a little account of when he was a young man. He was 16 at the time. And his daddy, because of health concerns, lost his job. And they run out of money pretty quick. Back in the day. And his dad scrounged around, tried to do everything he could to make ends meet for the family. Wound up one day getting a contract to reupholster seats in a theater. He didn't know anything about upholstery. Didn't know how to make a stitch. But he got this contract to do so. And they pinned all their hopes on it as a family. This was going to be the thing that was going to turn things around, get them back on track, get them back on their feet. Bill Tucker's dad went and found an industrial sewing machine, had somebody teach him how to use the thing, scraped up everything they could, looked under the couch cushions, everywhere they could, running around the washing machine, all the change, everything they could find, and invested in this industrial sewing machine. And he and his son, Bill, went and picked it up. They got this monster of a thing, put it in the back of the pickup, tied it in there right up close to the cab. Mr. Tucker tossed the keys to Bill, 16-year-old young man. He said, take us home, son. We're going to be okay. Bill fired the pickup up, headed to town about an hour drive. They got into town and made the first clover leaf to head to the house. And as they made that clover leaf headed to the house, he could see in the rearview mirror that old big sewing machine tip over, to the outside. He slammed on the brakes trying to save the day, but the machine tumbled out of the back of the pickup truck and onto the pavement and just busted and bent all over the place. He got out, distressed, obviously. Dad jumped out the other side. Said he got prepared for what was to come. You ever been there? Oh, man, it just brings back memories whenever I think about that right there. Huh? I remember the day that I stole the pickup off a ranch. Mom and Daddy were going to another ranch to pick up some cows. And I swiped that pickup and was going to run off up down the road down through there. Got in it. We lived in there where the house was. There was a house trap, about 70 acres in the house trap. Bump gate on either end of it there, so I run up to that bump gate. I was going to go on up to the caliche pit up there and run around in the mud up there and have me a big time. Went through that bump gate, and when I did, I pushed it a little bit too hard. Tailgate was down, and that bump gate come around on the back end and knocked the tailgate plumb off that pickup. Had a hard time loading it in the back of the pickup. I finally got it in there. There wasn't no way I could put it back on by myself, so I put it back, made my joyride real short. Went on back, parked it down there in the barn, hoping that nobody would notice that I'd done knocked the tailgate off of it. Yeah, I was confident nobody'd ever see that. They get back, went to the barn, come to the house, and I'm sitting out on went out and sat on the porch because they came in because I didn't want to be in the house when they were in the house. And sat on the porch, and then I got the call. Brett, they weren't down there 2 minutes. They weren't down there 2 minutes. Have you lost your mind? You know, went through all of that stuff, and what were you doing, and why were you this and everything and all of that? You know how it goes, right? Dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, and you know, how are you ever going to mount anything, and you know, and all of that stuff. Well, here was this young man, Bill, 16 years old, been tossed the keys. Everything that they pinned their hopes on and in their livelihood and in their life was riding in the back of that pickup. Everything they could scrounge up and everything they could find had been invested in that one thing. Now it's laying out in the road. Bill said he got out of there, put his head in his hands, and that he was getting ready for what was coming. The where'd you learn to drive business. And his daddy come around that pickup, looked down at that mess in the road. Said he reached over, grabbed me up in a bear hug. And he said, son, it's going to be okay. Son, it's going to be okay. And it was. When your daddy tells you it's going to be okay, I think it's going to be okay. Huh? Because for the believer, when God gives his word, that's all it's going to take. That's all it's going to take for it to be okay. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As we studied through that here a while back in the book of Hebrews there, we looked at all the words in that particular verse. It says that faith is the substance. In the context of all of that, the word substance there means something more than what you think. That word substance is talking about science. And it's the idea of you know, in science you take beakers or you take tubes and you put a substance in there and you put it under heat and you boil it down, right? And so the word substance there simply means what it boils down to, what is left after you've boiled out all the mess, well, after you boiled out all the stuff that doesn't need to be there. It's the stuff that's left. And so it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is what it boils down to. Faith is what it boils down to is the substance of hope, which is the promises of God. You see, that's where faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of the promises of God. What He promises will come to pass. What He tells you will come to pass. It's what it all boils down to. That's what this whole thing this morning boils down to. What He's promised and what He's told us, what He's given His word on. Who did He give His word to? He gave it to you. He gave it to me as believers. And what it boils down to is that what He said, He will do. What it boils down to is what He's promised will come to pass. And you can count on that. Mama's Day. Lead your children to the Lord. Lead them to the Lord. Then tell them it's going to be okay. Don't you tell them it's going to be okay if it's not. Huh? You don't lead them to the Lord, it ain't all going to be okay. You lead them to the Lord, you bring them into the camp of believers, and then you can tell them it's going to be okay. And it will. Because it's going to be okay when you put them on the foundation of God's word. When you put them on the foundation of God's promises, it's all going to be okay. You know you're saved this morning? You're following in obedience? It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Whatever your lot, whatever your crisis, whatever your uncertainty, it's going to be okay. If you don't know Him today, it's a whole different story. It ain't going to be okay for you. And you can paint it three ways from Sunday. You can put sugar all over it. It ain't never going to be okay. You don't know the Lord, this is as good as it's ever going to get for you. It ain't never going to get a minute better. It ain't never going to get any better for you. You've put yourself outside the household. You've put yourself outside the family of God by virtue of not placing your faith and trust in Him. And that's what it boils down to. That's what it boils down to here this morning. Yes, it can be okay. It can be all right. Everything can be okay for you. But not until you surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have moments of wonder. But without Him, you'll have an eternity of despair. We get it all backwards. We want to trade. We want to trade down rather than trade up. For the unbeliever, you're trading down when you leave this life. For the believer, we trade up in a big way. Get it right now. Get it moving in the right direction now. And then you can take that well-meaning observation and help for you, which says it's going to be okay. When your preacher says it's going to be okay, it'll be okay. Amen? But not until then. So that's my simple message to you this morning. Simple encouragement for you, for the believer. For the unbeliever here this morning, it might be a slap in the face. Either way, it's the truth. It's the truth. And we have to deal with it as it sits. Amen? That's where it is. So I'm not going to trade in a bunch of lies. I want to trade in the truth with you today. And there it is. For the believer, it's going to be okay. For the unbeliever, not so much. Let's stand for prayer.